In these last days, the Bible predicts a turning away from biblical truth. In order to combat false teachings that are running rampant and a growing lack of biblical literacy, Behold Israel provides weekly public readings of Scripture to equip you with the pure Word of God, read in an international community with interaction and application. Each week, we host different guests from all walks of life. Original readings can be found on our Behold Israel community channel on YouTube or on our Facebook channel. These are audio versions created to make it convenient for your busy schedule. Now, on to our readings.
Hello to all of you. Pastor Mike here. Just completed 1 week of my reserve duty in the Air Force. It's good to be back with all of you for tonight's public reading of Scripture, otherwise known as PRS, The Lost Art of Listening. That's kind of my new tagline. The Lost Art of Listening to God's Word. Tonight, we have Zechariah 11 and 12, and we're going to continue in 1 Corinthians. Before we begin, make sure that you share this with anybody that wants to make an impact in Israel. Listen to God's Word as we embed within this public reading of Scripture specific prayers for Israel. And tonight, it's just me, and I want to rely on the chat room a lot tonight, give you guys a little extra time to respond, and I'm going to put the chat room up and your prayers. And so we're going to give you the time as the quote guests. So without further ado, let's ask that you share this with a friend, family member, whoever may be interested in the Word of God and praying for Israel. Let's open in prayer. Lord, we pray right now you will bless this reading, allow it to make an impact in all of our hearts, and allow us to walk away with confidence in our relationship with Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. All right. Zechariah chapter 11, just where we left off last week. This is the desolation of Israel. And keep in mind the word Zechariah, Zechariah, it comes from several Hebrew words, actually two, Zachal, which means remember, and Yah, Zechariah. Yahweh remembered. And it has to do with the theme of the people were wondering if God had left them after the Babylonian exile. Is his promises still relevant? Is he going to keep his word? And therefore, a lot of the theme of this book is the coming of Messiah, as you and I would say, the second coming of Messiah. Open your doors, O Lebanon, that fire may devour your cedars. Wail, O Cyprus, for the cedar has fallen, because the mighty trees are ruined. Wail, O oaks of Bashan, for the thick forest has come down. There is the sound of wailing shepherds, for their glory is in ruins. There is the sound of roaring lions, for the pride of the Jordan is in ruins. The prophecy of the shepherds. Thus says the Lord my God, feed the flock for slaughter, whose owners slaughter them and feel no guilt. Those who say to them, blessed be the Lord, for I am rich, and their shepherds do not pity them. For I will no longer pity the inhabitants of the land, says the Lord, but indeed I will give everyone into his neighbor's hand and into the hand of his king. They shall attack the land, and I will not deliver them from their hand. So I fed the flock for slaughter, in particular the poor flock. I took for myself two staffs, the one I called beauty, and the other I called bonds. And I fed the flock. I dismissed the three shepherds in 1 month. My soul loathed them, and their soul also abhorred me. Then I said, I will not feed you. Let what is dying die, and what is perishing perish. Let those that are left eat each other's flesh. And I took my staff, beauty, and cut it in two, that I might break the covenant which I had made with all the peoples. So it was broken on that day. Thus the poor of the flock, who were watching me, knew that it was the word of the Lord. Then I said to them, if it is agreeable to you, give me my wages, and if not, refrain. So they weighed out for my wages 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter. That pricely price they set on me. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them into the house of the Lord for the potter. Then I cut in two my other staff, bonds, that I might break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. And the Lord said to me, next, take for yourself the implements of a foolish shepherd, for indeed I will raise up a shepherd in the land who will not care for those who are cut off, nor seek the young, nor heal those that are broken, nor feed those that stand still. But he will eat the flesh of the fat and tear their hooves in pieces. Woe to the worthless shepherds. Woe, or who leaves the flock, or the worthless shepherd. A sword shall be against his arm and against his right eye. His arm shall completely wither, and his right eye shall be totally blinded. I'm going to save the comments until after this chapter, because some of you are wondering, what is this thing with Judah and Israel and breaking? The burden of the word of the Lord. This is Zechariah chapter 12, against Israel. Thus says the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples, when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it. All nations of the earth gathered against Jerusalem. In that day, says the Lord, I will strike every horse with confusion and its rider with madness. I will open my eyes on the house of Judah and will strike every horse of the peoples with blindness. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem are my strength in the Lord of hosts, their God. In that day, I will make the governors of Judah like a fire pin in the woodpile and like a fiery torch in the sheaves. They shall devour all the surrounding peoples on the right hand and on the left, but Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, Jerusalem. I hope you're listening. The Lord will save the tents of Judah first, so that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall not become greater than that of Judah. In that day, the Lord will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The one who is feeble among them in that day shall be like David, and the house of David shall be like God, like the angel of the Lord before them. It shall be in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. So it's very tempting to comment, huh? In fact, while we read this, give your insights in the chat room, and I'm going to open that up in a minute. Y'all know what this is talking about, right? The ultimate fulfillment. And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will mourn for me, whom they pierced. Now, who's speaking here? It's Yahweh. Yahweh is speaking. In many of your translations, including the New King James, me is capitalized with an M. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. So you have Yahweh, and you have this him, and they're associated. In that day, there will be a great mourning in Jerusalem, like the mourning of Hadad Rimon in the plain of Megiddo, and the land shall mourn every family by itself, the family of the house of David by itself, and their wives by themselves, the family of the house of Nathan by itself, and their wives by themselves, the family of the house of Levi by itself, and their wives by themselves, the family of Shimei by itself, and their wives by themselves, all the families that remain, every family by itself, and their wives by themselves. All right, chat time. Let's get some chat going here, and let's put that up. Insights, my friends, insights. Well, we know that the ultimate fulfillment, of course, is Armageddon, where the nations gather up to Jerusalem. We also know that this is the second coming, when Jesus comes back and Judah is what's left. And we know that. Why are Jews called Jews? Because they're from the tribe of Judah. We know that before this, the other nations that will cough up remnants of Israel, and the Ezekiel prophecy will be fulfilled, where Israel and Judah at the very end after this will be united. And even before that, during the tribulation. So look at these comments. Hey, Kim Canto, it's good to see you. And now is the time where I'm asking you not just to make insights, but to also pray for modern Israel. You know, a lot of people are mentioning that this war in Israel has prophetic significance. Well, I'm not aware of any passages directly that reference this specific battle. However, we know there will be wars and rumors of wars, and Israel will always be a linchpin in God's biblical prophetic plan. We also know this is a precursor to the Gog of Magog invasion led by Russia with the alliance of Iran, Turkey, Libya, and Sudan. We already have those countries aligned. So I want you all to consider that the IDF continues to conduct operations right now. They want to squash what's left of Hamas in Rafah. All of the so-called innocent civilians are moving into the northern or the northeast, and they're trying to do this methodically, professionally, and minimize the criticism of the United States and other powerful countries. After this is done, and believe it or not, that's the easy part. There's nothing easy about it, but that's the easy part. The complex part is what do you do with Iran? And we know that Iran is prophetically aligned to Russia and Turkey. Turkey is more than willing to fund the operation of Hamas. Iran has been planning it and using it. If you follow Amir on Telegram, you'll know all the details. This is about prayer right now. And so I'm asking you all just right now to say some prayers for the final operations over the next weeks of the IDF in Rafah, the relationship with Egypt, the responses that they need to make to Iran and Iran to them, what that looks like, we don't exactly know. What about Hezbollah? What about the daily barrage of ordnance that they have, that they're trying to inflict harm on northern Israel? And they'd go a whole lot further than that, believe me, if they could. They've been sending equipment in the skies. The Israeli Air Force is constantly in action, shooting down ordnance. The Iron Dome is in full force. The Arrow system is in full force. These people need your prayers. I got an email today of a woman that visited Israel, and she just went there to serve Israelis. She went there to listen to their story. She went there to mourn with them, to empathize with them. And they were asking her about her faith. The faith in Jesus came out, and she shared her faith. She shared prophetic word with these people of Israel, and they listened. There's an openness right now that's occurring we haven't seen in a long, long time, folks. So let your prayers reflect that. Look at all these beautiful prayers coming here. And it's for the record, as long as Facebook is up, as long as YouTube is up. And by the way, this broadcast is recorded as well. So it's basically permanent until the rapture. Who knows what'll happen after that? In our hands. And I just want to say, without you applying God's word, being a light to not only the nations, but specifically to Israel with your love and with your prayers, they see this. In fact, if you have an Israeli friend, if you have a Jewish friend, share this with them. And it's truly inspirational to see all of you pray. It really is. Oh, you know, I don't even really want to continue. I just want to continue just reading these prayers, and I'm praying them in my mind. They're going by so fast. People from all over the world. Yeah, but we're going to continue now, and we're going to have another chance to do that later. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 right now, and we're going to come back to the prayer in just a minute. So 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it's a change of topic for us, and here we go. Let me take down the caption. There we go. Now, get ready. This is how bad the church can be, at least in the first century. So brace yourselves. This is pretty shocking stuff if you've never heard this before. And maybe some of us have forgotten what this says. Paul's really writing the Corinthian church, who was really embedded in flirting with the pagans of the day and also the gods. And part of the system, the rituals would be to have exorbitant and sex everywhere. And it says here, it's actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you. This is kind of an infection in the whole church. And such immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. So a man is allegedly walking around proud of having sexual relations with his stepmother, okay? And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. For indeed, as absent in body but present in spirit, have already judged as though I were present, him who has so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. See, they were proud of it. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, this Passover season, by the way, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. What a great metaphor, huh? Before Passover, they would get rid of all the leaven out of their house, symbolic of getting rid of sin and preparing their hearts for the Messiah, for the sacrificial lamb. I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. That is, people that are proud of what they do. Not only do they say, what's wrong with that, but they say, you should do this too. It's so worth it. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of the world, or with the covetous or extortioners or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. He's talking about people in the church. But now I've written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reveler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. Eating back then was a sign of fellowship. And when you ate with somebody, you were saying we essentially agree on the values. That's why the eating developed such a firm fellowship. And we lost some of that dynamic today, but some of it's still there. For what have I to do with judging those also who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person. So now we're going to go to chapter 6. And for those of you who want to sue a Christian, lawsuit, see what the Bible has to say. See, they were going to court for any and all reasons. You know, my rights! Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? I say this to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you, not even one who will be able to judge between his brethren? But brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers. Unbelievable. The smallest issues, and they're going to secular, pagan courts. You see how dysfunctional this church was. Now, therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you and me. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now, our bodies. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. By the way, that's one of my favorite verses to settle the dispute, to get rid of the so-called Christian values, ethics, morality list that we all love to construct in our religious brains. You can't do this, you can't do that, you should do this, you shouldn't do that. He gives it to us right there. Everything is allowable, but is it helpful? Everything is allowable, but does it lead to an addiction? Foods for the stomach and the stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. By the way, that phrase, basal echad, one flesh in Hebrew, echad is the Hebrew word that's used for the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are echad, they are one. And God arranged marriage between a man and a woman to be one flesh so that a couple could understand the oneness of God himself in the Trinity. Very interesting. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, for whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now to the insights. Very good reminder, no, of who we belong to. That's what Jesus accomplished on the cross, is he redeemed us from the world. He bought us, and we said yes. Therefore, we belong to him, because true freedom only exists in him. Outside of him, we have the illusion of freedom, but it's actually bondage. It's number one, not helpful. And number two, it leads to slavery, just as he alluded to there. So everything's lawful. Is it helpful or is it addictive? And you find yourself waking up saying, how far off track I've gotten in my relationship with Jesus. So we've got the comments up again here. Look at all these prayers and observations about these two chapters. Very strong indeed. You know, times like this, it's good just to ask the Lord, hey, if there's any wicked way in me, search my heart. Let me just be before your throne to know what you need to change in me, Lord. Pray that with me, even this evening. And now I'm going to pray for Israel, and I'm going to ask that you all join with me and keep writing your prayers. This is what I would call a prayer blitz. God is so big. He's managing the universe, all of these galaxies all at once. It's nothing for him. And this is like a little league. Even if every single one of us were writing constant prayers and I was praying, God hears everyone. He's that big. He's really that big. Okay, Lord, we pray right now that you will examine our hearts. Allow us to say yes to your transformative power so that we can truly be free and closer to you. We pray for the nation of Israel that you will draw them to yourself through the crisis. Use your body in that land. Give them boldness. Give them opportunities, divine encounters, appointments with their non-believing friends and family. We pray for a hedge of protection around the Israeli Defense Forces. We pray for the people of Gaza that want to get away from Hamas, that these people would surface and miraculously find their way to safety. We pray for Hamas to see their evil, turn from their wicked ways, repent, and come to Jesus. We pray, Lord, for operations to squash the evil. We pray for a success there in Gaza. We pray also for Iran and the Iranian government that you would bring a huge level of conviction. Lord, we know what the prophecy says, that they will join forces with Turkey and Russia, Libya and Sudan. And Lord, we pray that the Iranian people would see the hypocrisy, look to you, and come to you. Pray for the same in Turkey. We're asking right now for miracles on the field, miracles in the operations of the Israeli Defense Forces. Miracles like we've been seeing with the missiles that are fired, with the rockets that are fired, that land in open territory where there's no casualties. Where the IDF is able, with surgical precision and professionalism, to knock out this ordnance. We pray for safety and not an iron dome necessarily, which is great, but an iron dome of the Lord God Almighty, knowing that in the end, that the people will turn to you and embrace you and mourn and see you for who you are, Jesus. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Now, I hope you all read some of these prayers as I was praying. This is epic. This is seismic. This is timely. It is urgent. It is critical. And you matter. You have been called to be in this room to such a time as this. And what was prayed here this evening, what was listened to in terms of the scripture, happened. And it goes into the record for the kingdom of God forever. So until next week, my friends, continue to listen to God's word. Follow us on Telegram. And if you haven't already, here is the caption, if I can find it here. Right here. Follow Amir's Telegram. And you'll find details there that you will not find in the news. The military, members of the military that I know follow this. So very cool. With that being said, get your pre-order of Discovering Daniel, and you will contribute to more non-believers having access to this book. And if that's not enough, check out our website for future events. And if you want to read Telegram there and you don't have the app and you prefer not, you can always read the news there. So, my friends, until next week, we will see you then. God bless you, and shalom lekulsem. Peace to all of you.